So our encouragement talk this evening will be given by a boundless way Dharma holder, Kate Hartland.
Oh boy, I'm finding it really difficult to start into this one on the heels of the talk that we had earlier today. It's feeling kind of like what I want to do is like take a little nibble around the edge and carefully chew it up and swallow and dab my lips and be done with it. And what I think I'm actually stepping into is a big slice of really hot pizza, and you take the first bite in and immediately the cheese just sears onto the top of your the roof of your mouth, and then you realize that all that cheese is actually still glued to all the rest of the cheese on the slice of pizza, and all of that cheese is glued onto all the toppings, the onions and the olives, and so, and it's all going to come off at once, and it's like hanging out of your mouth that's burning. And so this is how this talk feels. It could be a mess. but one has to eat, so we'll step in. And the other thing I've got going for me here is a comment that David made during his talk today about how what we don't want to do is hold up a slogan and you know, make everything okay with that. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is a slogan. So how I got to this was I was walking in Cambridge this week, going from the T to the place where I work on Main Street. And it felt as though everything had changed, I think, for the whole country. No matter who you are, it feels as though everything has changed. And it did for me, too, and I was trying to sort this out, to find something stable to stand on. It occurred to me, well, as I looked around me, I noticed that actually everything still looked quite the same. You know, it was the same big clock there along the road, the street where I can check to see if I'm on time or not, and the same storefronts and stoplights and all of that, birds and, you know, the usual world. So actually nothing had changed. And yet it felt so different. And it occurred to me that what had changed was that I now saw things as they really were, as they had been all along. Whereas before I had lived in this sort of relatively pleasant bubble where things were going pretty well. And so they must be going pretty well everywhere. But now it seemed as though the flames that had always I'd always envisioned as being out there somewhere, maybe across the ocean or certainly far from me, were actually right here at my feet, right on this street. And that they had been for some time. I just hadn't noticed. A sort of despair crept in. You know, what does one do about this? What could be done? It felt almost like a paralysis. And so I went to work and, you know, began my job, and at lunchtime I was doing some reading, and this happened to be, I guess, I was preparing for a talk that I was going to give at Bright Sea that evening, and I wanted to read up a little bit on the subject, and I was reading an article by John Tarrant, and I came upon a single line that leaped out at me. And it was, It's always too soon to despair. It seemed to lodge itself in my head as a sort of slogan. I've never really worked with slogans before, but here was one. It suggested itself for consideration here and there. It struck me as quite provocative, and yet somehow that there was some truth to it. It was a very long view. Too soon, because don't have all the information yet. And really can never have all of the information. We never get to the point where it's okay to despair, because now I know that there is no hope. There's always a surprise. No way to know what comes next. And all kinds of despair to hold this up against. Maybe one's despair, maybe what you are feeling is something much more intimate than countrywide. Maybe it has to do with your own health or that of a loved one. It doesn't look too good. But maybe it's too soon to despair. And part of the potential pizza splatter here, part of the potential mess, is to think that the extra phrase that gets added on to the end of this sentence is it's always too soon to despair, and it will end up being okay. In one way, that's true in a very long view, but it might not be okay the way we want it to be okay. It might not mean for me right now the way I want it. So it's a pretty challenging statement. And I think that David's right. It can become a sort of a solid shield, something to hold up in front of me. Too soon to despair. It'll be okay. So there's a way of working with this to turn it. I really appreciate the way that Byron Katie suggests. Not everyone here appreciates Byron Katie, but there are things about her work that I have found very helpful. And one of them is that she suggests turning a phrase around, something that you feel certain is true, to turn it around and see if its opposite is equally true. Can you find truth in that too? It's a way of nudging us free from our dug-in positions of our certainty that this finally is the correct way, the truth. That's like discovering that a jewel has many facets, and sometimes flashes red, and sometimes green, and sometimes yellow. And all of them are the true colors, and no one of them is the only true color. So I looked at this phrase and considered it. It's always too soon to despair. That always seemed suspect. Is there anything that's always true? And so what about it's never too soon to despair? I didn't have too much trouble seeing a little bit of truth in that. But how can it be worked with in some useful way? Despair does arise. That can't be denied. And so how do we meet it? What happens when this occurs? I've been thinking about the national fondness for walls and how one of the definitions that I've come up with for human beings is that we are the organism that likes to move things from here to there. I mean, flowers don't do this, and stars don't do this, and I don't know, dirt doesn't, but humans just love to move things from here to there, organize them this way and that way. If there's a wall, we like to take it down I think of the Berlin Wall. What joy there was to see that come down. And if there's not a wall, we want to put one up. Just move things. So I've been thinking about this wall, and how despair feels like a wall. And what is it made of? If it's never too soon to despair, let us get to know it. What is this wall of despair made of? And I see we humans who like to move things, taking a brick off of it and having a look, and the top layer being all the ideas about this wall, why it's necessary, why we must maintain it, what it's about, who it's keeping out, who it's keeping safe inside. And then moving some of those upper layers of bricks, taking them off and getting to the next layers, which are perhaps some anger about how things are going. Something needs to be done. The visceralness of that. No denying it. And taking those off to have a look at them too. They're hot. Handle them carefully. And then down at the foundation of the wall, perhaps, as Bob had pointed out, fear. It seems always to be at the base. Our fears. The need to protect ourselves. So to recognize this, to see it as also the truth, and not the long view truth anymore, but a very intimate truth. And there are other ways to turn this phrase around. I won't go through them. I invite you to try them out. It's always too soon to celebrate would be an interesting one to look at. Another opposite. So if we are not paralyzed by despair, because it's too soon for that, and if we are not made complacent by celebration, because it's too soon for that, then what is the thing that we do? Have another bite of pizza.